Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As Phil was just reading it, it reminded me of something Luther said a long time ago. Isn't there someone among you that's wise enough? And Luther always held that congregations should be church councils even. Namely, there's enough wisdom within the body of Christ inside that place that they should be able to sort these things out. And so, just to lift up a bit from the past, about a year and a half ago, I probably wouldn't have relished this text as much as I do right now. But after being a district president now about 15 months, I understand these things better than when I was a pastor, okay? And so the things I want to share with you today, I hope are helpful to you as you think about your life together, especially for you that are just going into the ministry, this next generation. Just to lift it up, I hope you do a better job than what my generation did. Okay, it's kind of a way to you. We try, but I don't know how well we've done, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I've been elected district president, and I remember about 15 months ago, and I was going to a First Circuit meeting after being district president, and I got a phone call from a circuit counselor, and he said one of our pastors might get sued, okay, his congregation, along with himself. One of the members is pretty disgruntled, and it might not go there, but it could. So that was my first phone call from a circuit counselor. It was just to inform me that could happen. 3 months later, one of the most sobering things that I had learned so far is that we had orientation in September, a year ago, for the new district presidents. And we spent a whole afternoon with the synodical attorney, basically just helping us understand law and what could happen and what probably could come your way. Basically, Sherry said that if you serve any length of time as a district president, you're probably going to get sued. See? It's just going to happen. Okay? And so that just threw it out. I don't know. I hope it doesn't happen. I probably will retire in 4 or 5 years, so it might not come my way, but it could. Here's just one piece. In November, a fellow district president just shared with me a pastor thought that he was wrongfully dismissed, and so he was suing his congregation. Then after he was done suing his congregation, he's going to sue every member in the congregation. Okay, just another example. Okay, so these are the things that go on. And so these words really have a lot of meaning for us. It's not new. You know, Paul's talking to the church in Corinth. Paul had been there, 18 months? Did a lot of teaching. And he says there's still quarrels among you. There's still dissension among you. And that's the challenge as we live together. Just a couple more illustrations from what's going on right now. Just a couple of weeks ago, a congregational president had 18 grievances against his pastor. And so he shared those with his pastor. His pastor shared back how he felt about it to the congregation. The congregational president gave us a rebuttal and stopped taking communion. Okay? And so I get called in. And there's three different ways that a district president gets called in to a congregation, usually. One, if the congregational president wants my attention, head elder wants my attention, or if a pastor wants my attention, then I show up and we talk for a bit. This time I heard what had happened and I just invited myself and said it's best if we just start talking, okay? And so I did that, okay, the pastor and then this congregational president. And it just happened a week ago. And we spent a Tuesday evening, 90 minutes, just talking about these grievances, see? And by the time we were done, it went really pretty well. I wasn't sure how it'd go. But we hugged each other, we forgave each other, and we worked towards reconciliation. The key, though, is that out of those 18 grievances, 13 were against the pastor's wife. Okay? And this is an interesting piece for you guys, okay? Just realize that's part of the mix inside this. And so it wasn't so much the pastor, it was the wife and her ministry, okay, inside the congregation, her relationships. And so now a district reconciler probably will become involved. And how can they work then? The pastor, the congregational president, the pastor's wife, sit down and start talking about these things and working too towards reconciliation. One more illustration, and then I'll move into the text better. This one is a guy inside South Dakota. Good pastor, previous two pastorates. Followed a guy that was a pastor for 30 years. So again, just trying to help you guys understand what happens when you follow somebody. Anyway, he had been there 5 years. The list of grievances was almost 200. Okay, and it was year five. Finally, the congregation just unloaded all 200 one night on him. Spreadsheet was 20 pages. Okay? I mean, it was a long list how the guy didn't measure up. See? And especially to the guy who was there 30 years. And he was a good pastor, the guy that was there for 30 years. But it's a difficult thing, see? And he had basically resigned 3 months later. Got a call about 6 months later after that, and he's doing fine. Where is that next, see? But how do we live with each other, see? What do we do with these grievances that becomes ours? And Paul says it's spiritual immaturity. That's the big problem that we have. There should be somebody there that's wise enough to be able to sort this out. You're going to be judging angels one day. You're going to be judging the world one day. You should be able to figure it out now, because we're spiritual men who've been taught spiritual things, and we should be able to judge all things, Paul says earlier in 1 Corinthians, maybe chapter 2 or 3, see? So he says, this is what we get to do. And so there should be enough spiritual wisdom here to sort all these things out in good ways. And so he says, work at it. Just one more piece. Synodically, you know, we've struggled. We've got a history of long list of grievances that kind of fester from time to time. And what are we going to do about these? I think that's a huge question for us. How do we live well as a church body? Here's just one piece. Brothers not even communing with each other at the circuit level. Okay? We practice our own form of closed communion. Okay? Some of these guys were in our installation, and yet a couple of years later we're not communing with them. See? That's a huge question. This is our life together, and how can we do this thing better? See, it grieves the Holy Spirit when we live this way. And that's why he says to us, a spirit of unity, a spirit of peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are the meek. And a meek is someone that finds a way of living amidst all these challenges and troubles inside the church. Especially to be able to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. And this kind of gets at the law inside the text. Imagine if God had a long list of all the grievances against Tony. It'd be far more than that 200 that that guy had. Really. The list is pretty extensive in my life, and it would be inside yours too. But what does God do with these things? He washed them in the blood of Christ, right? Justified us in the name of Jesus. But then he says you're sanctified. You're set apart to live a different kind of way. That's what the text talks about. The very end, verse 11. You're sanctified in the name of Jesus to live a different way. And so one of the best things I think that we can do from time to time, this is what I would do when I was in the parish, is to look at the one another admonitions of Scripture. Okay? Whenever it talks about one another, take a look at some of those. I'm going to read a few of them right now for you. But this is what I hope your life will be like as you men and women go out into the ministry, okay? As you live with your brothers, that this will be what your life looks like. When God sees you living together, this is the way that you'll be seen. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, Romans 12. Live in harmony with one another, 6 verses later. So then each of us will have to give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Romans 14. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Romans 15. The parts of the body should have equal concern for each other, not to show favoritism. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. Galatians 5. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6. Be completely humble and gentle with each other. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, Ephesians 4. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And this is the key one. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, Colossians chapter 3. Then finally, have a sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. See? But once a year, I would share those words right before the annual church council meeting, okay? Voters? It always got a bit intense once in a while, and I'd pull that out. And that was always our kind of our opening devotion once a year, just to help the members of the body understand our life together. Just have one illustration left. Terry Forkey. Maybe some of you know Terry. He's district president in Montana. This goes way back. We're fourth-year seminarians at St. Louis. And we're playing intramural football. And it's hard for you probably to believe, but I was the quarterback. I weighed 80 pounds less than I do right now. And anyway, we were just about ready to score a final touchdown and pretty much wrap up the game. And so I'm sweeping to the left. I'm about on the two-yard line. And instead of going for my flag, Terry Forkey does a roll block and cuts me off at the knees. Okay? Didn't even try for the flag. Okay? So I can still picture it. I can still see it. And what I did then, I got up, of course, and I said, next play, you die. Okay? You die. Okay? Pointing my finger at him. I get back in the huddle, and it's not much prettier in there. The guys, they're mad too at Forkey because it was pretty cheap. Okay? And so I said, well, what do you guys want to do? And they said, well, wherever Terry lines up, we're all going to sweep to that side and run him over, okay? That was the play. It didn't matter anything else. We're all going to get Forkey that play, okay? And so that's what we did, okay? We swept that side. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Forrest Gump, but remember that time he runs all the way through the end zone and goes all the way out of the stadium, okay? That's what Terry Forkey did. He ran for his life. And none of us, we couldn't even get close within 10 yards of getting Terry. But the next day, I had Henschke, okay, he taught pastoral theology, and I didn't know it, but Dr. Henschke was watching the game. And so he calls me up after class and just says, Tony, he says, when you get a grievance, you can't threaten a guy's life when you're out in the parish, okay, you can't do it. And he said, that won't go over real well. And so we talked about it more, and so that's kind of it for you, okay. When we have grievances, okay, when people trouble our spirit, grieve it, what do we do about it? And so my question is this morning, what kind of churchman will you be? Okay, what kind of churchman will you be? How will you live with each other as brothers out there in the ministry? When you do have a grievance against a brother, how are you going to handle it? What's going to be your way? And I just prayed that you do a nice job because people are watching. The world watches us. Our Lord watches us. And, of course, the church watches us. And so what do we do? Again, I pray that upon you, brothers and sisters too, that your life will be a very good one and that you'll live well together. That koinonia that we talk about. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Again, for your goodness towards us and all people. We thank you that you bear up with us and that, again, there's mercy and there's grace inside Jesus Christ. Help us to live well with each other. Help us to bear up with each other, carry each other's burdens, pray for each other, love each other, and especially to be able to forgive each other when we wrong each other. May we have a spirit of unity and peace within our synod. And again, may many be blessed as we live this life out. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.